Welcome to the Art Within podcast, hosted by filmmakers Houston Coley and Nate Shepard. This is season one, cultivating community in the digital era.
Hello, and welcome to the Art Within podcast. My name is Houston Coley, and I am the artistic director of a nonprofit called Art Within. I'm also a YouTube video essayist and a self-described theme park theologian, whatever that means, and a documentary filmmaker with my wife, Debbie, who is from Czech Republic. My wife and I have lived in a lot of places around the world in the past few years, but currently we're in Nashville, and we're really happy to be here.
And my name is Nate Shepard. I am a filmmaker and composer based in a little town called Rhinelander, Wisconsin, in the northern part of the state. And I live here with my wife, Andrea, and our three children.
This number zero intro episode took some time to find its feet, and so I'm just going to fade in where things got interesting. Then I felt like that was too cliche, and so then I just went into the, and this is my co-host.
This is going to be so painfully self-aware. the whole podcast is going to be.
So this is actually something I wanted to jump into at the start. You and I have talked about doing a podcast for a long time.
Yes.
And I've often said after many of our conversations, oh, it would be a great podcast. You know, we'd do a good podcast together. But also, both of us are so self-aware of the fact that the world probably doesn't need another podcast of two skinny white boys saying their opinions to a microphone, because that's what everyone is. And yet here we are, and both of us sort of changed our minds. So my question for you is, why are you here? What changed your mind on doing a podcast?
To be honest, I'm not 100% sure my mind is fully changed yet. So for me, I've been resistant to the idea of a podcast, of doing a podcast myself, partially because, oddly enough, I don't consume that kind of media all that often. I end up watching a lot more videos, which I guess, you know, a lot of those can be podcasts as well. But for me, I think the struggle that I've had is more just, it's adding to the noise. Am I really a necessary voice? And I don't think, if you think that you're a necessary voice, that's probably not a good reason to start putting your voice out there. In particular for me, I live in a small town in Rhinelander, Wisconsin. It's this tiny place that nobody really knows about. You've either been here or you've never heard of it. There's no in between. And I love it. And I love smallness. And, you know, again, that could be a whole conversation in of itself, but that's why I'm resistant. That's a long answer to why I'm resistant to doing a podcast, is just, what's the point of adding yet another voice, adding more to the internet? And even if it does take off, even if people are drawn somehow to my perspective, is that actually good for me? Is that healthy? Can I build genuine relationships with those people? Certainly at scale, I can't. And so at some point you have to realize that this is not how we are designed to relate to each other as humans. And so somebody listening might be like, well, then why are you doing a podcast? I'm like, this. So
we've set up a good dramatic question for the whole
show. Yes, dramatic. So the reason that I decided to do a podcast is because of the mentality behind this particular podcast. And that's where I'm going to pass it back to you, Houston. And why did you decide to do this? What is your mindset behind this podcast? What changed your mind about approaching this one a little bit differently from other work you've done?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Because I was just telling you before we started that I'm having deja vu from the podcast that I used to do with my cousin when I was 15 and 16 and 17 years old in my parents' closet. Because I'm sitting in another closet doing a podcast, and now I'm 23. But I think this one is very different than that one. That previous podcast that I did in my teen years was very fun, but it was ultimately, yeah, let's just, you know, like vent our opinions about superhero movies. But now I think, for me, the word that I'm drawn to the most when I think about Art Within in particular, and for people who don't know, Art Within is a nonprofit that was started by my dad 20 years ago, and now my wife, Debbie, and I are sort of resurrecting it and have been doing that for the past year or so. And this podcast is kind of one of the first ways that we'd like to sort of start engaging with the world, whatever that means. But when I think of what Art Within, what I would like Art Within to do, I think of the word space a lot. Not space as in outer space, but space as in creating a space and inviting a space. I've done a lot of, in the past few years, I've become a little bit more vulnerable on my YouTube channel about sort of my own niche interests and like just weird things that I'm interested in, like theme park design and Celtic thin places and religion and just sort of cultural intersections of, you know, like the philosophy of certain movies and that sort of stuff. And that's actually been really helpful in a similar way to you. I've sort of given up YouTube as a, like, this, my point with this is to get famous or to get a bunch of views. Like, I almost never try with a video these days to have it blow up in a huge way. Sometimes I hope that it will, like with my recent Avatar video. I was like, I could see this blowing up. But I think the cool thing has been having YouTube as a side thing in the past few years and being able to invite a space just for people to talk about these sort of niche things that usually don't get talked about. Particularly faith has been a big part of it. And I think that one of the things that I've really cared about on my YouTube channel has just been integrating my own personal interest in the Bible and religion and Christianity into conversations about other things like movies and culture in a way that is not preachy and in a way that is not just like me, you know, trying to convince you to believe something, but that's just like, this is an authentic outpouring of something that I'm interested in and you're welcome to take part in this conversation. And I'm not trying to get you to believe something that you don't want to believe, but just let's just talk about this stuff because I think it's interesting. And in doing that, I've received a lot of comments, both on Patreon, which hopefully Patreon is going to be one of the first places that people listen to this, and then also on YouTube itself, from people saying things like, oh, like, thanks for talking about this stuff. Like, I would love to have more conversations about transcendent things, religion or philosophy or, you know, the creative process in a more vulnerable way. And it feels like people don't make the space to talk about that stuff with real authenticity. And so I've really like enjoyed cultivating a more authentic space, even in my YouTube comments, where people are able to sort of talk about their personal lives in a in an honest way, talk about their creative pursuits and things that they're ashamed of, things that they're grieving, you know, projects that were unfinished, things that are still they're still in the process of making and they have doubts about, and then also, you know, sort of the faith element of that too, and then a broader idea of sort of existing right now in the digital age and how we make sense of all of that. So that's a long way of saying, I think what I really hope with Art Within is that it can do more of that, creating a space to have these conversations and engage with these things in an honest, serious way. Not serious like dark and grim, but serious like we take things seriously. And that we'd be able to do that through things like podcasts and also through things like the art that we create. The first kind of big project that Art Within is doing that you may have heard about if you follow my channel is the LaBrie documentary. It's a documentary that my wife and I filmed this past summer for the whole summer about a Christian community in England that we've been very inspired by. Nate has also been inspired by too. It's where my wife and I met. Nate and I have a connection because of LaBrie. And so we spent all of this summer making a documentary about LaBrie and now we're in post-production on that. And the hope with that film is that it's also something that doesn't preach a message to people, doesn't force something on people, but just depicts something interesting and beautiful, I hope, and allows people to kind of talk about that and talk about a vision for what it means to exist in the world right now. So that's, yeah, I don't even remember what the question was, but I think that's sort of what the ethos of it is.
Just a couple of reflections on it too is just, again, for me, it's less, well, it's nothing to do with building my brand. You know, and certainly, and like, this isn't going to engage the audience, you know, it's like my audience consists of my mom and some good friends, you know? And I like it that way. And, for me, I think it's just the beauty of like how refreshing it has been for us, for you and I, in engaging with a community like LaBrie, which we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute here, but where, again, you're in a space where you're being taken seriously, not in this weighty, heavy way, but just we are going to take you at your word. We're going to let you be who you are. And actually, one of the mantras of the one of the founders of LaBrie, Francis Schaeffer, he would often say, "Honest answers for honest questions." And I found that to be a really helpful way to approach creating these spaces. Is you basically say, you know, ask an honest question. So first of all, don't come with this sort of loaded question or this, I actually have my answer already figured out and I'm just trying to flex on how much I know. Ask a question you are genuinely struggling with right now. And that takes a tremendous amount of vulnerability. And then honest answers. So whoever you're asking that question of doesn't just go, you know, come up with an answer out of thin air, just again, to impress or to, you know, to cover up their own insecurities about their lack of knowledge. You say, you know, an honest answer probably more often than not is, I don't know.
So I think I'm hoping that this is not going to be like the centerpiece of the whole podcast, but I do think it will come up quite a bit, especially early on, because it was a formative experience for both of us. You should probably explain to the audience what Labrie is in the simplest terms that we can, because it is indeed quite difficult to explain.
Yeah. So for those who are not familiar, there was a couple named Francis and Edith Schaeffer, who way back in the, I want to say 60s or 70s, became really passionate about engaging young people, many of whom were just asking a lot of really interesting questions about God and faith and existence in humanity. And so they started to create spaces where people could come and stay with them for an extended period of time and have honest conversations about topics that that people were struggling with. And so over time, that has now developed into a network of quite a few different locations around the world. The first one was in Switzerland, and now there are a couple in the US. There's one in Canada. There's one in South Korea. There's a couple in Brazil. There's one or two, I think, somewhere in Europe that I can't quite remember. And then there's one in England. And it's in this really small town in southern England. And it's situated in a 300-year-old manor house. And you just basically go there. It's kind of like a retreat center. And you spend, you know, up to 3 months at a time just living in community and having lunch together and cleaning and weeding and doing all this kind of communal living. And then within that, there's this very deliberate cultivation of conversation. And so one key feature of how life works at a Labrie branch would be you have a lunch table discussion. So you gather together around a meal. And somebody asks a question, it can literally be about anything that you're thinking about. And then the full table of people, you know, engages with that question in a very thoughtful and respectful way. There's also a fair amount of study. So they have a big library there in the manor that you can just pull a book off the shelf and read for half the day. The whole idea behind it is to, again, provide a space for people to ask the questions, the deeper questions that they're wrestling with, to not be afraid that they're going to be mocked or ridiculed or kicked out of the community simply because they are asking a scary question, but also to have an opportunity to live in a very embodied way, to have meals around tables, to have, you know, conversations while doing dishes and all that kind of thing. And so it's an attempt to recapture some of what community has meant in the past when we were less disconnected by the modern era. And so both Houston and I found our ways, you know, through various different experiences. And you know, I wound up at the English Labrie in 2018 with my wife and my firstborn child. He was 2.5 at the time, and I was transitioning from being a full-time pastor into a career as an arts and media self-employed entrepreneur. And so it was a great space for me to just sort out a lot of what I was struggling with and questions that I had. And as a result of being there, I met Debbie, who is from Czech Republic, who then eventually met Houston. And I'll sort of pass it off to you to sort of describe your experience with Labrie. But that's kind of the sort of, you know, 1,000-foot, 10,000-foot, however many feet, look at what Labrie is.
Yeah, I think an important component of Labrie is the name, which is the French word for shelter. And so the idea is often that, I think their current mantra is a shelter for honest questions or something like that. Mm. And I've often in the past compared, I'm not going to get into the nerdy details with this, but I've compared it in the past to Rivendell from Lord of the Rings, which is the elvish kind of haven that the Fellowship stops at to rest on their journey to Mount Doom. And it's really a place that they are able to kind of be refueled and recharged and reconnected with sort of the beauty of the natural world and also what it means to be alive. And there's even, especially in the books, like an incorporation of sort of culture and song and dance and literature as they're there. And they kind of feel what it means to reconnect with that part of kind of beauty. And I definitely felt that at La Brie. One of the things that startled me at La Brie was the fact that they have film discussions every Wednesday night. And when I was there, in fact, in February, my first time, they had a film festival for a weekend. And I remember when I first heard about that, I was like, oh, what is it going to be like? God's Not Dead or something? Like, we're going to watch like bad Christian movies or something like that? And no, like we would watch, like we watched the Before trilogy and Parasite and Lady Bird and E.T. the Extraterrestrial and a series of Polish films called The Decalogue and a bunch of really interesting stuff, and then had discussions about that stuff too. And that was one of the things that really inspired me, was a community, a faith community, that honestly and seriously engaged with art in a way that saw that art as meaningful and valuable, which was something that I had never experienced really outside of my family before. None of the churches that I had been to really like valued art in a major way other than worship music, right? My family always had, but I was really moved to be in a community where art was esteemed in that way. And I think that has definitely contributed to some of what we're passionate about with Art Within and with this podcast, and was such a breath of fresh air for me among many, many other things that were completely different than anything I'd experienced in the outside world.
What I love about things like Art Within or La Brie, or there's some other communities like the church that I attend here in Rhinelander, where there's just some active steps being taken away from the viral fame mentality. Even though we're small, you know, a part of a small church, sometimes those ideas still seep in of, well, we got to optimize social media and we got to get our little sound bites to put on TikTok or whatever it is. And you see a lot of that in Christian culture. You see a lot of that in the arts culture. In my mind, there's a lot of overlap between these two communities, largely because they both have to do with humans seeking for meaning and for something beyond just the pragmatic existence that we can see. And so, but what happens is that gets commodified really quickly. It gets turned into a glorified commercial, sometimes literally. You know, it's like now I think the Super Bowl just had, I'm not knocking this particular thing, but I forget what it, he gets us or whatever it was, where it's like an ad campaign to sort of promote Jesus, which is just really interesting.
Which I think the founder actually said the phrase, "We want Jesus to be the biggest brand in America."
Right. Like, all right. That's interesting. Okay. at risk of maybe having too much of an opinion on it, I don't find that very compelling way to approach Jesus or faith or art or any of it. And again, because it turns humans into products. It's about virality. It's about scale. And I think it cheapens the experience. It cheapens so much of it, and tries to commodify it and spread it and whatever. And so that's, again, to me at least, and you know, Houston, you and I maybe sometimes have a little bit of a different approach when it comes to the internet, which I think is also part of the conversation we'll be having. But for me, I actively work against going viral. Not that I like deliberately say weird things just to make people not like me. But, you know, like I host my own show. It's called The Nate Show. It's a play on The Late Show. And my name is Nate. So that's the joke. But it basically is just an opportunity for me to showcase local people in my community. And I do this live stream, you know, once every other week, and I'll have somebody on to have a really interesting conversation. But I don't leave the recording up. I don't actually allow people to watch it after the fact. And the reason for that is all of the things we've been talking about is like, I want to build genuine community. I don't want to build a brand. And all of that is just to say, I think we are the result of a culture that doesn't know how to do community and has kind of atrophied in relationship. And so once we were able to tap into a few key ideas and communities for ourselves, then that has been very inspirational in driving a lot of what we're doing. So my experience at La Brie, I think, was a big driver in how I've chosen to build my community here in Northern Wisconsin, right down to, you know, having a live stream show that I don't leave up. It's like, it's that mentality that I think that's why I'm leaning into this podcast, is because I want to provide that space and be a part of cultivating those kinds of things in as many spaces as makes sense. Not many as I can, because again, that's scale, that's viral. I'm not trying to change the world by any stretch, but I do really, really see the value of being able to access this kind of stuff and these kinds of mentalities and communities. And so maybe if we're able to provide that for a few more people, that's wonderful. And I'm very excited about that.
I think the focus of this season of the podcast in particular, we've decided to do the podcast as a set of seasons And we would like each season to sort of have a consistent theme that unites a lot of the episodes. And so the theme of this season that we've really wanted to touch on has been cultivating community in a digital era or digital age. And so community is a big thing for the two of us. I use the word community all the time. I kind of use community as like an end-all be-all. Like, I just want good community. I want to seek community. And it's interesting to me because I think I wouldn't have used those words or those phrases like 5 years ago. Like, those wouldn't have been things that I was like, oh, I'm really seeking that. I think I have been seeking community all of my life, and I have never really felt a great sense of community in my life. I think the most that I've ever felt great community was at LaBrie. But other than that, like, there have been so many periods of my life where I felt sort of like the outsider in a particular group, or like, you know, the community that I'm in, whether it's at church or school or whatever, is just kind of disjointed, and people don't know each other as well as they should. And different people are left out, and there's cliques and all this kind of stuff. And you have to drive to a big party or event to even engage in the community. The other area that I would say maybe that I've experienced community in my life has been the internet. You know, the internet has been a big thing for me. I've had a YouTube channel since I was 11, and I've always been engaging with the people who are my subscribers and then people on Twitter and all this kind of stuff. Sometimes that can look like a beautiful community, and other times it can look absolutely dysfunctional and dehumanizing and bad. But I've always kind of sought to, rather than running away from the digital world, to somehow redeem it and somehow sort of have some level of real, authentic human connection on there, which is something I think, again, will be a big theme of this season in particular, how to do that online, which is something that we're both still figuring out. But yeah, I wanted to ask you about your community origin story, because I think both of us are in some way passionate about creating community or generating community or inviting community or cultivating community, as the name of this season suggests. And yet I'm still sort of trying to figure out what community is and why we're both so passionate about it. Because I think a lot of people, when you just say that like you're interested in community just as like a sole concept, that almost feels alien to some people right now, because it feels like community is almost always like linked to another thing. Like, oh, it's like, you know, community in your workplace or, you know, artistic community, which is something we're passionate about. But like, yeah, tell me about why you're interested in community and sort of what has brought us here in that realm.
Yeah, well, I think honestly, I can remember back sort of 12 years old, being just about ready to enter into youth group. My older siblings were already there, and I always had to keep up with them and wanted to do what they were doing, and just longing to feel like I belong. And so I think for a lot of us, community, the value for community starts just a longing to belong, a longing to be seen, to be valued for who we are, and not necessarily what we bring to the table or how impressive we are or what we look like. And that's actually really, really difficult to achieve, in part because everybody else within that, you know, that we engage with within our communities are also looking for those things. So we enter into the communal experience very much seeking to gratify our own identity crises. Like, we're all like, to varying degrees. Obviously, some of us maybe struggle less with that insecurity than others, but I think it's a pretty common experience to have some sense of, do I belong? Am I seen? Am I valued here? And if I'm not, then, you know, we have a lot of different ways that we respond, usually in unhelpful and unhealthy ways, to try and achieve that. And then that's why a lot of times our communities fall apart and it gets very difficult to actually achieve what we're trying to accomplish. And I think I have a lot of experience in the church world, and some experience in the arts world and other various types of communities. And what I've found is that a lot of us come to it longing for that depth, longing for that vulnerability, but being so terrified to actually expose ourselves in that way, because rightly so, we're afraid that people are going to not respond well to that, that we create a false version of it. We create a sort of candy version of it. So it's this, it feels like it has weight. We're particularly good at this, you know, in our churches. It's like, we say spiritual things, we have theology. We have ways that we can feel like we belong to something that's deep and rooted and connected, and we're all doing this great thing and potlucks, and it's all happening. And my experience, so I've worked at a variety of different churches over my life, and my experience has been that as soon as you leave that community, it's as if you never existed. No matter how integrated, I've been integrated on every level within a church community, and no matter how integrated I was, when I left, it's like the vast majority of the people were like, well, that's a bummer. And it's always bothered me, like, why do we not seem to have a more lasting understanding of community? And I think it's because there aren't actually roots. And why it matters, or why I've become passionate about it, I think is a little bit of, you know, like when you first have a well-cooked steak, or for me, it's coffee. I love really, you know, we roast our own beans, we have an espresso maker, you know, we're in the weeds on coffee. And it was, I remember the first time I had a really good cup of black coffee. Whereas up to that point, I was like, why would you drink it black? It's nasty. It doesn't taste good. You got to put sugar. You got to put milk. And then I had a cup of really good black coffee, and it opened my eyes to a whole new world. And I think there's some of that where community is coffee in a way. It's this thing that we have a false version of almost everywhere we turn, a false type of vulnerability that feels real but is actually pretty fake and insubstantial. But it actually exists. There actually is a much deeper, more connected way of being. And I think some of it is that, at least for me, I actually have memories of before the internet was really a thing, and how us as kids, we would play. And I even had a video camera. I would make movies with my brothers before YouTube. I mean, when YouTube was just starting to become a thing. And it never occurred to me to even upload it, you know? And so it's interesting how, I'm not saying that it's inherently good or bad. It's like, but each of these technologies, in particular the internet, has further disconnected us from community, not only that's vulnerable, but community that's embodied, community that has a tangible five senses to it. And that's another component. Again, you know, we'll probably get into this on another episode, but the way we build our churches, at least in America, the way that we build our services, a lot of it is this, it's almost disembodied. It almost has this separation from our regular lives. The way we take communion, this is, I could rant for an hour on how I feel about how we typically take communion in these little, you know, prepackaged juice cups, and we sit there and quietly contemplate by ourselves. And I'm like, it's in the name, communion. It means to commune, community. It means together. And so I think that lends us well to, you know, talking a little bit about LaBrie and what's so interesting to us about that community, is because it was one of the first times that at least I had ever encountered embodied, sort of down to earth in a quite a literal sense, community, where you spend a significant amount of time around a table eating food, or doing dishes, or weeding the garden, or just singing together, whatever it is, that there's this very tangible and physical embodiment of community that provides that piece that I think a lot of us, we don't realize we're missing. And so it's all kind of connected for me, of just like, I long to be human. I long to be healthy and whole. And certainly as I've had kids, I long for them to have that and to experience as much humanness as they can in a sort of increasingly destabilized digital age. And I do think it's possible, at least for where we're at and what we're doing right now. I'm seeing some tangible results, but a lot of it has to do with being physically present and really cultivating physical spaces to facilitate that kind of community.
Well, this is where I would have a slightly different experience than you in some ways, because I prioritize this idea of how to find community in the digital world a little bit more than you do. I agree with everything that you've said about, you know, kind of the idea of the value of physicality and physical community, in-person kind of stuff, I think is so important. And ultimately what I hope people gravitate towards, even listening to this podcast. And yet I also think that the internet is so integral to the world that we live in right now. So many people are on the internet and are living their lives through that lens. And I've always been like, yeah, I think those people need to be engaged too, me among them, right? And need to find human connection in that, even if it's only a part of what existence is really meant to be. Hmm. Yeah. So I think I definitely had a similar experience of seeking belonging in church throughout a lot of my life and not totally finding it. And when I came to LaBrie, like you said, it was like a night and day kind of thing. I was like, oh, this is what it's like to be known by people and seen and loved and to be in relationship with people in a true lived in day-to-day way. And I am passionate about how can we do that normally? Like, how can this not just be like a thing that we only experience at summer camp or when we're in college? Like, how can this be something that we experience all the time? Like, lived in community with other people. You know, 1,000 years ago, that would have been the norm to live in close proximity to other people and just be in regular community with them. Sometimes it would be painful and hard, but it was also, you know, beautiful in many ways. And now that's not the norm. And I get so many weird looks from people sometimes when I talk about these things. I talk about other ideas like, you know, how we're so dependent on our cars now and we have to drive everywhere. And these sort of values that I've gotten, especially from having been at LaBrie and also having been living in Europe with my wife for a certain amount of time. Things where I've seen like, oh, like things don't have to be the way that they are, especially in America. And yet when I bring up those things to certain people, a lot of times it's like, well, that's just, you know, accept it. That's just what being an adult means. Being an adult means that you only see your friends like once a week at a trivia night at a bar. And you have to drive everywhere to have any sense of real community. And you know, work 9 to 5 every day. And that's like what life is. And community is just like a thing that you have maybe one night a week. Like, and that's what it is. And I'm sort of just really passionate about like, how do we find a better way that's realistic? That's not just like a fantasy and not just like, oh, let's just, you know, dream up what we want life to be, but is like integrated and possible. And I think many of the things that you're doing in Rhinelander inspire me towards that. I think I've seen a lot of the ways that you feel really rooted in your physical community, the people who actually live around you, in a way that I really would like to be at some point in my life too. My wife and I are still settling into finding even a place that we want to dwell after having been jumping around the world for the past few years. But I'm really seeking that rootedness as well. And I think that's what we want to explore to some extent. So,
yeah, I feel like we could have so many... This could be a 5-hour podcast if we kept going on all of the rabbit trails and just the things that we've been thinking about with regards to community. But I think this is a good place to sort of start and hopefully set the stage for ways that we want to explore this going forward. Yeah. I mean, I do think we could talk about a lot more things, but I think this is already as cumbersome as it can get before. Yeah.
This is table setting for a bunch of stuff that we'll talk about in the next 10 hours of rambles. Yeah.
So we just need to do the housekeeping stuff, I think. That's the main stuff.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we're really passionate about with this podcast in particular is that idea of actually, as we discuss community and just talk about these ideas of community, also in some way generating community and connection and kind of cultivating that just through the podcast. And I don't know fully what that looks like yet. I think we're still figuring that out. I think as we do these episodes, we're going to kind of be figuring out like what does even good community look like on the internet and how can that influence what we do with this podcast and all this kind of stuff. But for now, I would say, yeah, we would love it if people would submit or, you know, send in thoughts or questions or even just like your own stories or like different thing comments that you have based on what we've said. What have your experiences with community been like? What are the things that you have sort of been desiring? Have you kind of felt the similar ideas of like growing up in church and having like that sense of not belonging or any of that kind of stuff? Any thoughts that spring to mind? And we would love to read those and kind of talk about them in the next episode. So for now, probably the best way to do that is if you're listening on Patreon, which is going to get this episode early, you can leave that in the comments or otherwise you can send it to artwithinpodcast@gmail.com. So I think that should be the best way to do it. But other than that, hopefully in the next episode, we're going to kind of be getting into the weeds of like, man, the weeds is a negative way to phrase it. We're going to get into the nitty gritty, as some might say.
Get into the undergrowth.
Yeah. Of specifics of like what makes good community. And that might be as specific as like church buildings and architecture of churches and public transit and theme parks and doing art in rural Wisconsin. I think it's going to be pretty interesting. But yeah, overall, thank you guys for being here for the first episode. And anything else you'd like to say, Nate?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity to explore this in a new format that I'm not as familiar with. Because I do agree with you, Houston, that we live in the internet age. And so to pretend like the internet doesn't exist is naive and unnecessary and unhelpful. And so I want to grow in my wisdom and understanding of how to properly leverage the digital age to cultivate the kinds of community that I think we all need as humans. And so I think it's a both and, both using the internet, but ultimately seeking to build these communities for ourselves in tangible, localized ways. And so hopefully we'll be able to explore some of that in these coming episodes. And again, also really appreciate you tuning in and listening, and we'll see where this conversation goes. So thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening, guys.